Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 73 tonight. Psalms chapter 73. What a blessing. I want to stop one more time and just thank God for singing that ministers to my heart. Sister Tanita, it don't just make you want to pat your foot. You know what I mean? It don't just pump up your old flesh. But it just humbles us to know that a holy God in heaven loved us enough to come down here and take our place on that old rugged cross. What a blessing that is tonight. What a blessing. He took my place. He took your place. These little youngins that are running around the church, they don't know it yet, but it'll be a happy day when they understand Jesus took their place too on the cross, Calvary. For the sake of time tonight, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to be looking at the Psalm, Psalm 73. And the Lord put this in my heart last week, and I was actually using another Bible when the Lord put it in my heart. And when I got my Bible out today, the one that I preach out of, this one here, I can see I don't have a date, but it probably ain't been too long ago I've preached out of this psalm. There's notes written everywhere on the page. But that's okay. It'll be a different thought tonight. God's Word is alive. It can speak to us. We can read the same thing 100 times, and God speak to us 100 times in 100 different ways. Verse 28, if you'll stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, verse 28, I'll try to be very brief tonight. I'm tired. I know you're tired. You've been here for choir practice. But we do have a thought tonight on our heart. I didn't realize until last week that the first message we preached a little while back out of the book of Ruth on the subject, it is good, that's the first mention of that phrase in the Bible, is when Ruth comes out of the field of Boaz and Naomi sees that big sack of grain on her shoulder and said, it is good, my daughter. You remember that message? Then we've preached several messages in the series, it is good. But tonight in verse number 28 of Psalm chapter 73, the Bible said, well, let me read verse 27 because it starts with a but. It says in verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. That means glad you're not far from him tonight. Amen. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Now watch verse 28. But it is good. That's our subject tonight. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. Think about that tonight. How many could say amen, Mr. Asaph? It's good for me to draw near to God. Amen. You know what God said? I believe it was in the book of James. I might be wrong about that, but draw nigh to God, and what will he do? He'll draw nigh to you. What you think about that tonight? You can be seated. Pray with me a moment. Father, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts in this message. God, I pray that you'd give us the strength that we need to stand. And God, I pray that you'd give us clarity of speech, clarity of mind, bring to remembrance those things which we've studied. And God, I pray that you'd make the message a blessing to your precious people tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Father, if there be one in our midst whose sins are not under the blood, this would be the night. This would be the night, or they don't have to go another day. Lord, this would be the night that they'd come and, Lord, trust you. Lord, we don't need to pick up the shovel, and Lord, until we receive the Savior into our heart and into our life. May you help us tonight, Lord, never to mistake service for salvation. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to read you something that I read last week, some of the studying that I do. If you've never been introduced to it, I use a commentary from the Blue Letter Bible, and I don't mind studying. I know we need to read the Word of God. Sometimes I like to read what others have to say. I read some after Spurgeon. Most of my reading's in the book, the Bible, but I do read some outside of that. And I want to read something to you tonight, and I'm telling you all that because I don't want you to think this is something that I came up with. I'm not smart enough, Brother John, to come up with this, but I think it's interesting tonight. This wonderful psalm may be best understood by the dominant pronouns that it has within it. When Asaph is troubled by the fate of the ungodly, in Psalm chapter 73, verse 1 through 12, the dominant pronoun is they. He's talking about them, the ungodly, those that are out there, they, the dominant program, pronoun. And when he describes his own frustrated thinking leading to the resolution, the dominant pronoun is I. And both of those are out of sorts. I mean, if you spend all your time thinking about them, or you spend all your time thinking about I, you're in trouble. Amen. And then he said this: when he finds resolution of the problem, the dominant pronoun is you, and that's talking about the Lord, his God. Amen. But then watch this. I think this is good. The in the sense of God. But when he proclaims the assurance of his faith and his fellowship with God, the dominant pronouns are a mixture of you and I. You and I. Amen. Can anybody see that? If you read this psalm and just read it carefully, beloved, the trouble that's come into the heart of Asaph has come because he's watching people out there that are living wicked lives. And yet it just seems like they have all, the Bible even says it, that the heart could wish for. But I'll tell you something I wrote in the margin of my Bible today. You know what every heart longs for? Peace. You know what that wicked out there don't have? They don't have peace. They might have possessions, but they don't have peace. And Asaph is going to figure that out. And I want to give you some things tonight. It's good to draw nigh to God. And before we get into the message tonight, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. Isaiah chapter 29, I'll have to turn over there as well. And verse number 13, I want to read a verse of Scripture to you tonight that I think is fitting in the onset of the message. The Bible said, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me," watch this, "but have removed their heart far from me." Oh, God, help us to never be guilty of that. To have something coming out of our mouth and out of our lips that's not in our heart. Amen. And that's what Isaiah is saying. He said, "And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." It's not taught by the Lord, beloved. Amen. Listen, you know what a person is that loves God with their lips and loves God with their mouth and don't love God with their heart? I'll tell you what they are. They're a Pharisee. That's exactly what happened in the New Testament. They had the Word of God on their lips, but they didn't have the God of the Word in their heart. Did you hear what I just said? I believe in pulpits all across America. There's men that have the Word of God on their lips, but they don't have the God of the Word in their heart. You say, Pastor, how could you make a statement like that? Because I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, listen. God has a doctrine. God don't teach us that He loves some. That He picked out some for heaven and picked out others for hell. God don't teach that. The Word of God said hell hath enlarged herself. Every time somebody dies without God, hell has to get a little bit bigger. God's never made a mistake. If He made it for all those people, He'd have made it big enough to start with. What'd He do? He prepared it for the devil and his angels. Why? Because He said it wasn't His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Word of God is talking about drawing nigh to God. Let me say this tonight to give you three things. They start with the letter B. Number one, there needs to be a balance. If you look at the, and actually, y'all are like this, don't tell Brother Jason, but when I thought about this today, I thought about the first message he preached at Bible Way. He had the audacity to stand in this pulpit and say, some of you is watching too much Fox News. Y'all remember that, don't you? Amen. Well, guess what my daughter in Statesville, North Carolina did? She got on the internet and heard him say it, and she wanted to be sure he got word that she appreciated it. Yeah, we're in a mess, ain't we, Brother Ralph? We're called, amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, he was right. You can watch the news too much and not get in this book enough, and things get out of balance, amen. I ask a question. Anybody ever had a vehicle with a tire out of balance? Get it up about 70 miles an hour. You can't even talk to your wife sitting over there. It's vibrating your head off, amen. You know why? Because that tire's out of balance. Anybody ever have a washing machine and maybe a blanket get over on one side and you're in there just minding your own business and all of a sudden it sounds like an army's coming through the house down there? That's because that washing machine's out of balance. You know what a lot of Christians, you want to know why they don't draw nigh to God? Because they're out of balance, amen. They've let the things of this world pile up on them. They've let the cares of this world choke out the Word of God in their life. And things have gotten out of balance, amen. I believe it takes a balance. Listen, I believe you ought to watch the news. I believe you ought to know what's going on. Honey, I'm going to tell you something, what the news is telling me. Every day I see a little bit of it. Let me tell you what the news is telling me. He's coming. Hallelujah. Our Savior's on His way. Amen. I heard last week, I don't remember who told me this, but they've got a new religion now that that combines, I think it might have been my brother in Mount City, it combines Islam and Christianity, and they're calling it Chrislam. You say, Pastor, that ain't funny. No, it's exciting. Because, Brother John, this thing's going to come down to a one-world government and a one-world religion. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it sounds to me like they're well on their way. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be a Bible believer. Amen. I've been born again. Amen. I'm not interested in getting mixed up with the isms of this world. Amen. Thank God tonight. But we need a balance that we might know what's going on in the world and know that our Lord is coming again. He's coming soon. Amen. I believe that it's a matter of our heart drawing nigh to God. Beloved, listen. You remember when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. One of the things he did, he said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. You see, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. He said, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Here's what he prayed. Keep them from the evil. You say, now, Pastor, what's that got to do with balance? Asaph is out of balance. The Word of God said right here, but as for me, he said here, my feet had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He's in a bad way, amen, because he's got his eyes on them. He's got his eyes on they. And you know what happens sometimes? The grass starts looking greener on the other side of the fence. Somebody say amen.
I like what one man said. I heard this years ago. He said it's also greener over the septic tank. Some people's going after the greener grass, amen, and they'll destroy their children, they'll destroy their marriage, they think it's greener over yonder. Let me tell you something, beloved. You can't improve on the pasture that God has given His children in the Word of God, amen. This is the green pasture that we ought to be after, the Word of God, and there needs to be that balance in our life. I'm not going to read it all to you tonight, but if you'll look at it, beloved, Asaph is in a mess. He's looking at them. He's looking at they. He's seeing what's going on in their lives. And to be honest with you, it won't be long if you stay in that out of balance condition to your heart, instead of being nigh to God, will be far from God. You'll be out of fellowship with God. I believe that a true born-again believer will never lose the relationship they have with God, but I do believe they can lose the fellowship that they have with God Almighty. Amen. There needs to be a balance. Jesus said, don't take them out of the world. He said, just keep them from the evil. Well, that we struggle with. How many remembers a Sunday school lesson years ago to the effect of not being overcharged? How many remembers that? You can't forget that. Let me tell you something, beloved. We're all prone to be overcharged. The pressures of this world, the pressures of the family, the pressures of the job, just the pressures of life, amen, are prone to get us out of balance. And instead of that thing running smoothly and washing the clothes, beloved, it's sounding like it's going to tear the end out of the house down there. Amen. Amen. There needs to be a balance in our lives. We're looking too much at the heathen and not enough at the Heavenly Father. If you look too much at the heathen, beloved, if you're not careful, you'll become envious. You'll become jealous of what they have. And if you're not careful, you get going down that road, and here comes old Slewfoot, and he'll cause you to think that God's holding out on you. So not only will you have the wrong perspective of what's going on out there, but you'll have the wrong perspective of what's going on up there. And you'll begin to get bitter against God because you're seeing everybody else. Let me say this to you. Did anybody watch anything or see anything on the news about the lawyer in South Carolina? Anybody see anything about that? What's he doing? He's making millions. What's he doing? He's stealing millions. Where is he tonight? He's in prison for the rest of his life. What I'm trying to say to you by saying that, and I don't gloat or glory in that, listen to me carefully. What I'm trying to tell you is that what looks like success is not always success. The average person probably didn't know that he was popping them opioids like candy. Say amen. He was able to operate and look successful in this world. And no doubt many people come along and said, man, I wish I had me a 1,700-acre ranch. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'd rather have the peace that I've got in my heart than every ranch that's in this country. Asaph is going to figure that out. It is good for me to draw nigh to God. There needs to be a balance. Secondly tonight, there needs to be a brokenness. Not too many people want to be broken. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. There's something good about brokenness. We can get close to Him. You know what? Let me just see if I can find it here. Turn to Psalm 34, just back a few pages. Psalm 34. This is the Bible. This is the Scripture. Psalm 34 and verse number 18. Notice what the Bible said here. This is the Psalm of David. He said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Let me ask you something tonight. It's not uncomfortable, is it, to have your heart broken? There's a lot of things in this world that'll break our hearts. And it's not uncomfortable. It's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable to have your heart broken. But God is telling us through David and through Asaph here, if we're going to draw nigh to God, beloved, not only does it have to do with a balance in our life, but it has to do with brokenness in our life. I've read this. Maybe you've read it too. I won't get the words exactly right, but this is the gist of it. Someone said they'd never known God to really use a man until that man was broken. I want you to think about that tonight. Think about God's men that you know. And think about some of the things that's happened in their lives. They may be broken physically. They may be broken, beloved, listen, by something that's going on in the family. They may be broken by things, Brother Chris, that's went on in the ministry. But don't give up hope. Because sometimes God is using that brokenness in ways that we know not of to draw us. I love the song, Brother Ralph, nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. If we'd be honest, beloved, listen, those are probably the times when we're closer to Him than any other time in our life. Those times of brokenness. Those times when you go to pray and you can't get a word out. And the Bible said in the book of Romans, the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm telling you, beloved, we want to be close to God, but sometimes, I'm saying we, not you, we want a shortcut to that. Amen? Asaph is looking out there and he just can't understand why they're getting along so good and why he's having so much trouble. But you know what? We're going to show you here in a moment. There needs to be a brokenness. Look at verse 21. He said, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. There's something going on inside of Asaph. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. You can read the psalm for yourself. But I believe before the psalm is over, he's ashamed of the way he was thinking. Because the Bible said, beloved, look at it with me for just a moment. He said in verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. What he's saying is, all of this, my going to church, my reading my Bible, my praying, my trying to do right, is in vain. I love the scripture. I hope I can quote it. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is, Paul says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this scripture, Brother Mike. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch this now. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what happens, Brother Michael, the devil says one thing and God says another. He says it's in vain. What's the use? What's the use to stay faithful? What's the use to pray? What's the use to stay in the house of God? What's the use to tell anybody about Jesus? Ain't nobody listening anyway. And God said, let me tell you something. Your labor in the Lord. I don't know about you, Brother Gary, but I'm going to take God's word for it. I done figured out a long time ago, the devil's a liar. That's all he knows how to do is lie. Amen. What's the use? What's the use to have a youth program? What's the use to have a children's church? What's the use to go on visitation? What's the use? I'm going to tell you what the use is. It's helping somebody to draw nigh to God. It is good for me to draw nigh to God. I thought I'd been done. Let's get to the last thing right quick. Not only does there need to be a balance, and there needs to be a brokenness, it is good to draw nigh to God. But I close with this statement. There will be a blessing. When you and I get close to God, there will be a blessing. Something just come to my mind. You know, I told you this morning that I've read that text many times. Brother Houston, I just read across it, so to speak. God's helping me in these days to see things that I've not seen. You know what I believe, Brother Larry? I believe it's one thing to read it when you're not close to God. And it's another thing to read it when you are close to God. That may believe it makes a difference. Amen? And so I think, Brother Adam, what God's helping me to see is, I'll show you more, son. If you'll just stay close to me. If you'll just stay close to me. Amen? If you'll quit letting the things of this stinking world crowd out your time and my time. Amen? If you'll just stay close to me, I'll give you what you need. Amen? You won't have to be concerned about something to preach because you just walk with me and you just stay with me. Amen? You'll never be up at Saturday night at midnight wondering what in the world you're going to preach on Sunday morning. Amen, Brother John, you ever been there? I have. Amen, Brother Chris, you ever been there? I have. But I'm telling you, these days I've learned, just get as close to Him as you can. And there's a blessing in that, amen. A blessing that your pastor cannot describe tonight. A blessing. Sister Jerry, you were complimenting the Sunday school that Brother Don did this morning. She said, Pastor, it was so good. I haven't listened yet. And, but you know why I believe it's so good? It's coming out of the heart. It's just walking so close. It's coming out of a heart. Listen to me tonight, and I don't believe I'm exaggerating one bit. Brother Don, don't know. None of us know when it'll be the last time we get to speak the words of God to the people of God. He doesn't take one more opportunity for granted. And you and I shouldn't either. It's good to draw nigh to God. It's a blessing. Let me show you some of the blessing tonight. And I won't be done, but I'll quit. Watch what he says here. It's a blessing. Asaph has been looking at all of their works, but he ends up declaring all of thy works. One thing to look at their works, and it's another thing to declare his works. Say amen. Watch it here. Look at the last verse, verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare, that I may declare all the works. There used to be I don't hear it much in the modern vernacular, but in older people's vernacular, how many's ever heard the phrase, well, I declare? How many's ever heard that? Amen. It sounds like something would come off Andy Griffith, don't it? Amen. Well, I declare. You know what I believe? I believe God's people get near Him. They'll go to school and say, well, I declare. They'll go to the job and say, well, I declare. His works, thy works. Let me give you this tonight. I wrote down a few things tonight. What do we have tonight? What kind of blessing are we talking about? In verse 23, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Brother Doyle, we have His presence. There's no substitute for His presence in our lives. You can substitute for sugar, and you can substitute for salt, I heard a guy say last week, the reason they call it no salt, he said, guess because it don't taste like salt. Amen. Listen to me tonight. There's no substitute for His presence in our lives. The second thing I saw here, look at verse 23. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. I'm talking about a blessing now. The Bible said, thou hast holden me by thy right hand. If you're saved tonight, you're in the hand of an almighty God. Not only tonight do I see His presence in our lives, I see His protection in our lives. Look at verse 24. We're just talking about the blessing now. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. You know what I see there? I see His path for our lives. Brother Gary, the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Aren't you glad we have a God tonight, amen, that's leading us in the right path? Watch this tonight. I'm just talking about the blessings and I'm done. We see His promise in verse 24 in our lives. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. When I was in high school, there was a song that was popular. Some of y'all are going to laugh right here. The title of the song was, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. How many remembers the song? Come on. I'm hearing the tune right now. God help me to finish preaching and not hear that the rest of the time. Amen? You ain't seen nothing yet. You know what the psalmist here is saying? He's saying, I have His presence and I have His protection. I have His path. But He's made me a promise. He's going to receive me to glory. Can I tell you tonight, children of God, we ain't seen nothing yet. I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him. But they're revealed unto us by His Spirit. I believe tonight the psalmist is in pretty good shape before he gets to the end of this psalm. He said, it's good for me to draw nigh to God. Because of this, the blessing in verse 25, we have a passion in our lives. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 25. Whom do I have in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. How many believes when you get near Him tonight, that love just increases? Amen. You know, a man and a wife, they get married and they love each other. But listen, while the years go by, that love increases. Amen. Year after year after year. I believe it's the same with our Lord. There is a passion. Look at verse 26. We see His power in our lives. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In verse 28, watch this now. It's good for me to draw nigh to God, but I have put my trust in the Lord God that I might declare all thy works. God said in verse 28, we discover His purpose for our life. Number one, we need to be near Him. Number two, we need to trust Him. And number three, we need to declare Him. We need to tell others what He's done for us tonight. I'm just glad you come tonight. Amen. I didn't mean to preach this long, and that's the truth. But it's a wonderful psalm. I hope you'll go home and read it. I hope you'll go home and breathe a prayer to the Lord. Lord, would you help me to draw nigh to God? Help me to draw nigh to you, Lord. If we'll do that, I believe He'll help us tonight. Amen. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer tonight.